Good morning. Good morning. Is everybody in here ready to go? I kind of sense a theme in the atmosphere this morning, and that is that God wants in the middle of all of this with us. Everything that's going on. Look at your neighbor for just a moment and say, I'm sorry. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm sorry. Now look at him again and say, there's no going back. How many like that idea? There is no going back. Last week, Pastor brought an amazing, amazing message, and he opened it up with Isaiah 43:18-19, and it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, because behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. And then Isaiah asks a question. He says, do you not perceive it? Do you not know it? I think sometimes we get so caught up in the mess that we're not stopping long enough to realize there is something God is doing. There is something that he's doing. And did you know that that word know or perceive literally is the word recognize it, acknowledge it. We're noticing it, right? Consider it. Think about it. And the fourth meaning of it is to declare it. We have so many people out there saying, I don't want to see change. I don't want it to go any different. I want it to go back to normal. No, we don't want it to go back to normal, especially in the church. And that's kind of what we're going to go to today. But I want to pray so that I don't speak anything out of my own head here. So, Father God, I thank you for just your word. I surrender myself to you. I yield my voice to you, and I just ask that you open hearts to receive. Father, I just ask that through the revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through this word, that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we begin to see what the hope of the actual call and purpose of what you have placed us here for is, God. And that we begin to see the power that you have put inside of each and every one of us to walk out the mandate that you have placed us here for, Father. And I ask that you just have this service. It's yours. It is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So like I said, so many of us are at this place right now where we're hearing or even maybe saying, I don't want it to be different. I want it to go back to normal. There's been a lot of change in the last, 4 months? Something of that sort? A lot of change. And believe me, I have fought it just as hard as a lot of people have. I have. I've thrown a lot of little spiritual child fits. But you know what? Don't stay there. Keep on moving. Kind of one of the things that I began to look at as I was studying through this, actually, a lot of this is going to be based off of Pastor's message from last week. I'm just going to take you to another direction. But I began to think about the Israelites. They never saw the promised land because all they wanted to do was whine and complain that they couldn't go back to their past. And my hope is today that whenever we get done here today, that every single one of you are willing to throw away that past of what the church looked like, what you were walking in, whatever it was, that direction that you were going, and understand that God is about a new thing right now. He is about a new thing, and that is what I want to get planted in deep inside of each one of you. No more fits, no more falling back into idol worship. One of the biggest idol worships we're seeing right now in this world is media. Everybody's eyes are on media. They are not on Christ, they are on media. And last week, Pastor shared a vision, I think it was Jeremiah Johnson, that said, you know, the media has three agendas. It's fear, it's hate, and it's greed. What else is there to destroy the work of God on this earth than to get the church's eyes in fear, or their hearts in fear, their eyes on everything that's happening around them, and hate, and then greed, okay? That is something that we have got to make sure that we completely eradicate in the body before we can move forward. I know last week he talked a lot about fear, overcoming that fear of just the voices and the things, and we're going to get into that a little bit more. But I will say that I did bring books this week, so if anybody, I don't care, if you struggle with any form of fear, any form of moving forward, anything like that, Pam will have them at the end back there in the back. So, you know, get a hold of that. And it's just literally from a counselor's view of helping you understand how it's planted and how to get through it and how to come out in victory. okay, so that the enemy can't have you anymore, because there's too much going on right now in the kingdom to be set back. So over the past several months, I have said this numerous times, even though I personally have had to say it. You know how you have to meditate on things to get it inside of you? You say it over and over and over, and you tell every single person that comes into contact with you. We are literally in the most, one of the most beautiful moments for the bride of Christ. One of the most beautiful moments. That's us. That's the church. It may not look beautiful, but you know how God loves to take the ashes of the mess and turn them into absolute beauty? We are literally in the moment like that. And imagine what God wants to do. I am so seriously excited. In this exact moment, we have the amazing opportunity to literally pioneer true, true revival on this earth. You guys remember at the beginning of the year, that's all we were hearing was revival. This is a year of revival. This is a year of reviving the church. This is a year of revival. Reviving actually goes back to even rebuilding. It goes back to just being renewed and refreshed and ready to go, because there's a harvest. I'm loving right now as we drive through everywhere. And I was telling my husband the other day, I was like, I literally probably could go back to custom harvesting. We used to harvest our own fields a lot, but I love watching, you know, them cut that wheat and just the beauty of the wheat and knowing the, you know, just what it yields on the other side of it. And it's, I'm looking at the fields as I'm driving and I'm like, the harvest is ready. And there's some fields that are rotting because they're not getting to them in time. Let's not let the harvest rot. We have to step up, guys. We have to step up. So when I say revival, what do I really mean? I want to give you a few things that I personally look at in revival, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. So I think of spiritually reproducing the kingdom. I think of it as understanding how important our relationship with God truly is, because that's what's going to bring revival to everywhere that we go. It's dwelling in Him constantly, okay? Literally bringing life transformation, signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere that we go. You cannot do that without dwelling in Him continuously, right? We have to be in Him all the time. I do not look at revival as a mass gathering. I feel like God says revival in this season is a mass going. It is time to go. It is time to go. And we have literally been in the real life discipleship. And what is the three things? Any of you guys that have been in that, what's the three things that we are told to do in Matthew 28:19? And teach. Go. Baptize and teach. Teach them about the Word of God. Teach them who He is. Amen? So when I think about it, literally it's doing this wherever our footsteps. And I'm going to literally walk you through Scripture in just a minute to show you what I'm talking about. So what God has been speaking to me, a lot of this is in the order of walking revival. There has to be a shift in the direction that in our own mindset direction right now. There has to be a shift. You know, for decades, tradition has told us revival is one thing, but God's saying that's not the season right now. It's time for something new. You know, people aren't, look around. I think this has been the biggest eye-opening thing to me. People are not gathering much anymore. They're not gathering. What happens to the day that we're literally not allowed to gather anymore? Are we going to stop revival in the land? The disciples didn't, did they? Literally, they were being persecuted and killed, but yet they still went from house to house, baptizing, teaching. They stayed on the go. They were everywhere. That's what we're called to. Amen? All right, so we have to let go of what we've been taught, the twisted beliefs that we've been taught. Yes, that stuff, those revivals have been amazing, and they've done some amazing things in our church history, but guys, it's a new season. It is a new thing. And we have to let go of traditions of man and religious mindsets. And we have to get ourselves into the Word of God. No questions asked there. The Word of God is the number one foundation. Amen? Amen. Okay, so what I want to do this morning, literally, is take you to the place of understanding that stepping into this new thing, it's not easy. It's not easy. But were we called to an easy life in Christ? No, He said if it was hard on Him and He was persecuted and the things that He went through, you will go through it too. So how do we get through that? Kind of like the way God tells me, suck it up, get in the Word, keep going. He has to talk to me like that sometimes. But anyway, so we're going to look at three things that I'm going to break down in this in Mark 6 that I want you guys to understand. Last week, Pastor took us into Matthew 14, and he was talking about Peter walking on the water and the streams of the wind, okay? So the first thing, in order to get to where God is trying to take us, we have to understand there's going to be wind. There is going to be wind. And I don't know if anybody else in here was as rocked by the example that he had up on the stage last week of the six voices that were yelling and just carrying on while he was literally just trying to dig into his word. And he was in a microphone and they weren't, and we could hear them over him, right? How real is that the minute we sit down with the word of God that the voices start? The wind's going to come, but we will not be able to overcome the winds and the streams and the media and the fear and the hate and the greed without this right here. That's all there is to it. We have to have it. So let's go to Mark 6. Oh, no, two more. Sorry. Second one, we must believe that he is who he says he is. We must believe. When our beliefs are off, we can miss the moment of his move. And we don't want to miss the moment of his move. The third one, we must be willing to be set on a new course. Holy cow. Who wants to be set on a new course? It's like, I was happy the way that it was. I was comfortable with everything how it was. Why on earth do we have to do something different? That was my biggest complaint through the first 5 weeks. The last part, I'm like, fine, okay, we'll do this. But it's like, why? Why do we have to? Why? But I think sometimes God will literally take the storm the enemy throws at us and say, let me use this to shake you up a little bit and tell you, this is why I need you on that other course, okay? We have to be there. Okay, so Mark 6, we're going to start in verse 45, and we're going to read to 51, but in the midst of that, we're going to be breaking this down a little bit, okay? Putting it in teacher mode this morning. All right, so it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. He said, while he sent the multitudes away. So they had just finished feeding the 5,000, and the disciples, he, you know, sent them on their way. He let the crowds go, and then he goes up to the mountain to pray. I want you to remember this. He set them, told them to get in the boat and to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. Okay? Remember that. That's on the northeast shore of the sea. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing because the winds had started. The opposition, that word, you know, that, like we talked about the wind, is all of that stuff. You know, it was against them. It was opposing them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And get this, it, literally in Mark's account, he says he would have passed them by. Think about that for a minute. He would have passed them by. When I read that, I was literally sitting out here in prayer on Tuesday, and I had already mentioned or asked Pastor if it was okay if I speak today, and I had a direction, but while I'm sitting out here in prayer and I read this, it stopped me in my tracks. He would have passed them by. And so I had to go home and I had to study that, and in several translations it says he intended or had a mind to pass them by. So, of course, I had to study, get deeper into some commentaries, because I'm like, why would he want to pass them by? So, in other words, several of the commentaries said he set his face and he steered a course as if he would have gone by them and or gone further and made it seem as if he was not noticing them whatsoever. So they're in this storm and all this stuff's going on. He's there and he sees them. He's just going to keep on walking by. I wonder if they're going to notice me. I wonder if they're going to notice me. And he just keeps on going. And then all of a sudden, they think it's a ghost, you know, and they're like, whoa, they noticed him. Okay? And so then he has to tell them, you know, fear not, I am here, but let me not get too ahead of myself. But some of them, so some of the things said that he steered his course as if he wasn't going to notice them. Some said he did this to awaken his disciples to call him out. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe he did all of these, like there was reason for all of this. You know what I mean? All of these kind of touch base with that. So then some say it was so that they could understand his deity and his mastery over nature and his miracle working power. They just saw him feed the 5,000. And it says later on in this, in Mark 6, that they still didn't even understand what had happened there because their hearts were hardened. So it's like, I just took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people, and now I'm walking on water. Let's see if you pick this one up. You know, hello, I'm here. And God, how many times is he doing that with us? You know, I'm here. Where? Call out to me. Okay, so he wanted them to see his miracle-working power. And that is, we're in the middle of that right now. We're literally in the middle of seeing this right now. I believe personally that some of this was also to test their belief. Okay, they did they truly believe who he said that he is? Did they truly believe that? He literally, so it says, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and he said, be of good cheer, it's me, don't be afraid. I don't know what the other disciples were doing, if they were doubting, if they were just like, I'm not sure that's really him. But Peter, let's go back to Matthew 14. Peter says, oh God, if that is you, call me out to come with you. If it is you, can you imagine the other guys in the background going, stop it, Peter. Oh my God, you're crazy. You cannot walk on water. You can't do this. And he's like, if it's you. And he said, it's me. Come on. And Peter literally climbs out of the boat and he walked on the water because Peter believed. We have to believe that he is who he says he is in order to get to the next side. We have to. I love that. I love it. Peter literally in all of his ambitious craziness. Peter was crazy, guys. What do they call him sometimes? Prozac Peter? He was crazy. But in all of that ambition, he believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he is. And because of that, he used Peter to build the church. Imagine being in the church right now in this season to be able to stop and say, I know God is in the middle of everything that's happening. I'm going to pioneer this move and I'm going to see something happen and people are going to begin to see something's different there. And that's going to begin to draw people into the kingdom no matter where we are. Amen? So Peter didn't let the beauty of the moment pass him by because of the chaos and the voice and the other things around him. He literally was like, oh, I'm getting out of this boat, you know? And then I kind of wonder, was Peter literally seeing Jesus's face like Jesus was set to get to the other side? And when he calls him out, he's like, I'm going with you. Wherever you're going, I'm going. So call me out. But then of course, Peter's faith wasn't quite as strong. And so he began to sink, but Jesus in all of his grace pulls Peter up and says, come on. And they get in the boat together. Did you get that? They get in the boat together. Jesus wants in the middle of our stuff. He wants in the boat with us and he wants in the middle of that stuff, okay? He doesn't care if we mess up. I mean, he cares, but it's like he has that grace for us. Whenever we're mad and we're irritated and all the chaos is going on around us and we're fearful and we're all of that, he's like, if you'll just invite me in, I'm right there. And that's what they did. So again, like I said, we must believe who he says he is so we do not miss his move. We cannot miss the moment. Do not let what God is doing in this exact moment pass you by, guys. We have to stay focused on him. Imagine what Peter would have missed out on if he would not have done it. Imagine that. And all the other disciples, they were probably like, dadgummit, I missed the moment. I missed it. Imagine what Peter would have missed out on. I would love to walk on water. Yesterday at my house, I had two little boys. I had Owen and Eli there. And I was walking around the corner and I heard Owen yell, I'm going to walk on water. And I was like, and I turned around and he had floaties on his feet. And he literally just steps into the pool, you know, straight in. But I was just like, oh, the faith of a child. Like, I'm going to walk on water. It was just the coolest thing ever. That is what we have to have. You know, okay, God, I see you out there. I'm going to take this step and I hope I can do this. But you know, with him, we can. With him, we can. With God, nothing is impossible. Every single one of those songs this morning, I'm like, seriously? God is with nothing. He is impossible. We must believe the second song. Guys, it's what he's doing right now. Okay, Mark 6:51. Then he went up into the boat with them and the winds ceased. And they were greatly amazed. Some translations say they were utterly amazed at what had just happened. Like, oh my gosh, you know? And I think about even with Peter, you know, even though he did fall, he was still the only one who walked on water. So imagine their amazement of just like, you did it. You know, imagine the amazement. I go back to LP. When one of these days someone's like, you did it. You did it. When everybody else was saying, nope, you did it. Guys, we're on our way there. We are on our way there. So, in John's account of this story, He says they willingly received Jesus into the boat, willingly, and then immediately the boat was at land. Okay, so we must be willing to let him lead, literally let him lead, and we'll explain this in just a second. So again, we're going to come back to this place. I want to talk just a second about the area of greed. I was telling Pastor this last week, and I'll finish this up at the end of the message, but some of the areas of greed that I felt like the Holy Spirit, I was in my quiet time after church last week, and I could not shake the message. I could not. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said that until we drop the greediness in our agendas, our time, and our relationships, we will not forward the kingdom of God. Because we're so caught up in our own agendas. We're so caught up in our own time frames. You know, I can't do that. I have to, you know, I've got things to do. And relationships, nobody wants relationship. You know, people just, they want their select few. They don't want, you see it everywhere. And especially right now, people are so fearful of everything that they're not building those relationships. We can't be greedy with that stuff. Jesus was never greedy with that stuff, right? Okay, so 53 through 56. So when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Wait a second, where were they headed? Where were they headed? To Bethsaida. Where did they land? In Gennesaret. Huh. You don't think Jesus and all of his deity and miracle-working power that calmed the seas as soon as he climbed into the boat couldn't have got him to Bethsaida? But instead they landed in Gennesaret? Let me give you the meaning of these two words. Bethsaida is the dwelling of animals. It was a small fishing village, not really much there. Gennesaret was on the northwest shore, so the complete opposite shore of Bethsaida, but it actually means a harp and is said to be very lovely and very fertile. Okay? Very lovely and very fertile. So when you look at the word harp, besides a musical instrument, it is the words to dwell on and to go about, to go on about. Okay? To dwell on and go on about. And of course, the word fertile is the ability to reproduce abundantly. So he took them. The course they were on was just to a small village, just to the place of the animals. I don't know what kind of animals there besides fish. And he takes them to a place of abundance, to a place of reproduction, to a place that they say was lovely. It was a place that they went on and went about, just a going, okay? Are you guys getting this? So before everything started, I'm going to go back to literally COVID, okay? It's the only thing I can think of to really start at. Before that started, we were on a course. Was it a good course? I mean, it would have got us there eventually. But was it the course God had us on? So in the middle of it all, we're trying to figure out what's happening. What's going to, you know, we've got this going wrong and that going wrong and this is happening and nobody's coming around and we're isolated and life's an absolute mess. We're losing people. I mean, not here, but like just in our lives because everybody's, you know, off everywhere. And then it's like all of a sudden he's saying, if you will literally just let me lead and let me in the boat, let me take you where you need to go. Guys, it's there. He wants, are you getting it? Yes. Like we were on one course, but he's bringing us a whole different direction. And as a church, it's just something that we're, not just this church, I'm talking about the church. Those who have ears to hear are hearing what God is saying to the churches right now. If you'll notice, there's transition happening in numerous churches, and every one of them are being brought back to, the ones that are truly hearing, to a place of discipleship, relationship, and going, teaching, and baptizing. So many of them are. That's the course. That's where reproduction happens. It doesn't happen on the other side. That's just where they fished. This is reproduction. That's where we're headed. Amen? All right. So, let me get back here on my notes. So going on to verse 54, it says, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them. And so this is what kind of got me really, really excited. So he takes them completely back, or completely to a different place. And because just in all of who he is, he knows where we need to be. He knows where we need to be. We don't. And so they were headed one way. He takes them another way. But this is the coolest part of it all. It says, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They recognized Jesus. And let me tell you something. If you've been spending any time with him at all, people are going to recognize that on you. And let me tell you this also, because he was walking revival, he took it everywhere that he went. Listen to this. Then the people, they ran through the whole surrounding region, and they began to carry about the beds of those who were sick. They began to bring out those who needed healing. And it says, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Guys, he got to the land of fertility, the land that was beautiful, the land that he was needing to go and bring spiritual reproduction to. And when he stepped out of the boat, the people recognized him. They recognized him, and they began to bring the people out, because it wasn't, he didn't say, okay, let's get out of the boat, guys, sit down. It's not what he said. It says, wherever he went, into cities, into villages, wherever his foot stepped, he carried revival with him. There was life transformation, there was healing, there was miracles, there was signs, there was wonders everywhere his foot went. Is there anybody else in here that wants to experience that? Anybody in here willing to be the pioneers of that? Amen. Let's pioneer that as a body. That is, oh gosh, guys, if I wish that there was a way to just paint the picture in my head of what I truly believe we're Pastor's laughing at me. Like, oh, I can't, there's no way to put it into words. There's none. There is none. So guys, again, like I said a while ago, we're in the middle of one of the greatest opportunities that the Bride of Christ has ever had. We are being awakened to seek him, to be his body, because remember in Ephesians, what's very clear, he is the head, we are the body. You have to be going for things to happen. You have to be going. In order for his kingdom to come and to ravish this earth, it has to be through you. Everywhere you go, it has to be through you. Just as Jesus was, everywhere his foot stepped, kingdom was brought. He's now in you, in me, in all of us. Everywhere our foot steps, kingdom should be brought. Amen? Everywhere. He's calling us to begin to recognize our authority and occupy the land. And we are being called to revival, to go baptize and teach. You're going to hear that over and over and over. We are literally being called. I started a new book called Roar, and it's talking about occupying the land. It's the roar of revival, but it's like, I just kept hearing it over and over. And then Shannon heard it, like she was doing something the other day, and she said she just literally heard occupy the land. And I'm like, that's on my computer. Because that's what he's calling us to do. He's not calling us to occupy a building. He's calling us to occupy land. Okay? Amen? All right. So again, but like I said a while ago, as long as there's fear, disunity, which is hate, and there's greed in the body, guys, we are not going to be able to reproduce the kingdom. We are not. And even if we try to reproduce, it's going to be a messed up reproduction. That is not what he's called us to. So after last week, I shared this with Pastor. Almost done. And I felt like I needed to share it with you guys. But as I was in my quiet time, I just felt like the Holy Spirit kind of began to question me a little bit. And this is what he said. He said, we will never storm the gates of hell and take back the world for his kingdom until we drop our own agendas, join ranks, and move in unity. He said, Jesus is our head and you are his body. And you have to move forward together to be effective. Together. And I'm talking the whole church. We have to get in unity. That's the only way. You look at all the hate going on right now, all of this stuff, and we've got to be in unity. We have to be. And so then he asked me this question. He said, why are you not seeing true revival? And this has been a question he's asked me since January, I believe. And so I said, because it's all about us and our own agendas. We're so busy about building our kingdom and not building his. And that's going to, he says, and that's going to change. And that's exactly his words. He said, yes, and that's about to change. Those who have ears to hear again are hearing the call. And they are ranking up, shielding up, and locking arms, just as as Pastor was preaching last week, and that because the harvest is ready and it's up to his body to go and get it. The combines can't sit in the field and look at the wheat and say, get in the combine. Be kind of easy if you could do that, wouldn't it? Like, was it Sabrina, the teenage witch that would twinkle her nose? You know, get in there. No, the harvesters have to get in the combines and they have to drive them. There's work behind it, guys. We can't just stand in faith and say, this is going to happen. We have to work too. We have to work too. All right. So hopefully you guys are getting the idea of what I'm talking about here. But guys, we have to set our face like a flint, get so consumed with this. Guys, so consumed. Like consumed, you know, like the consuming fire, consumed with this word right here. We have to get it in us. And we need to learn to stand in our God-given authority against the enemy's tactics, against all the waves, against the winds, against all those voices coming in and telling us things that are absolute lies to keep us from moving forward. And we have to stop. One of the things I have in here, that just a kind of a reminder, is that the reason that this is so important to have planted so deep inside each and every one of us is because I don't care where you're at, you can't stop the enemy's tactics. Think about it. I think about, you know, walking into Walmart over the sound system. Please, social distance. Please, this and that, you know, for the sake of so-and-so. And it's like, no matter where you go, you can't get away from the voices of fear right now. You can't. And if you're not consumed with this right here, you're going to be in the middle of it all. I'm not saying don't use wisdom. Please use wisdom. But don't be consumed by every single voice from everywhere that you go, you know, that tells you that you can't do it. So we must believe he is who he says he is, so our beliefs don't get distorted and we don't miss his move and miss his kingdom moments. So again, it goes back to that belief, to just believing. And we must be willing to let go of our own agenda and let him change our course as he sees fit. As much as we want to throw ourselves on the ground and kick and scream and carry on because there's change happening and things are going on, we have to let it happen. And we've got to get on board with it. We do. We have to let him do what he's going to do. Amen? Amen. All right. So, I'm getting totally off over here. All right. So we need to be about unity, transforming culture, removing traditions of man, and being him to a lost and hurting world. That's the only way the transformation is going to come. So being him in a lost and hurting world is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ in us, the resurrecting power. Literally, guys, resurrecting power. Whew. Raising lives. You know, whether it's literally spiritual resurrection or physical resurrection. I don't mind doing that. All right? It is Christ in us, full of love and compassion and grace. Yeah, that's the heart. It is. That's what's Christ, right? And it's Christ in us, authority and dominion. And it's Christ in us, walking revival. Church, let's not want to go back to normal. Let's not. Like, no, let's not even look back at what normal even looked like. And let's set our face like a flint. And let's pass it, let Jesus just join into the boat with us and let's pass all of that stuff, get it all away. Don't be like the Israelites and keep wanting to go back to it. And let's see the new thing. Let's grab this new thing and run with everything in us. Amen? All right. So I want to take just a minute and we're going to do an altar call. If you prayer peeps want to come up. You know, sometimes it's easy to say all of this, but whenever you don't have Christ in you, like I said, the hope of glory, whenever you haven't received him as your savior, whenever you don't haven't done that yet, then it's kind of hard to fight these battles because you don't have that spirit in you to do so. Okay, you haven't been just made new. And so if there's anybody, go ahead and stand up, guys. If there's anybody in here today that has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you're struggling, or even if you're struggling with the fears and just different things like that, and you need somebody to just believe and stand with you, you need to pray. We're going to pray a broad prayer of salvation here in just a moment. But come up here and let our prayer team lay hands on you and pray with you, okay? Because, guys, he wants in there. He wants in our lives. He wants in our boat. He wants in there so that we can literally see what he's doing on the other side. Amen. So, like we've said before, Hang on just a second, Pastor Keith. Give me just a second, if you don't mind. as we've said before, you know, to receive Jesus Christ is as easy as ABC. Acknowledging that we are sinners and we are messed up. We're born into a messed up world and that we need him. Believing that he is the Son of God. He died on that cross and he resurrected for each and every one of us, and confessing that with our mouth. Amen. So I want to pray that prayer over you, and then you guys can you guys can start praying. So Father, or repeat after me. I'm new at this one. All right. So Father God, I just acknowledge right now that I'm a sinner and that I need you in my life. And I confess with my mouth that I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He rose again, and he now is living inside of me. Jesus, I just thank you for just indwelling inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen.